Today's daf in Masechet Megillah, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf chet. We're holding right at the very top of the daf, and we're at the Halakha Mishnah. So, as the Gemara has introduced to us, one of the deep and hidden elements of Purim, which is Chayav Ana Inish Levesume Bepuria Ad Lo Yada Bein, that means that Purim is something that has to do with knowing what is not different. In other words, there is some level of an integration of things that seem very binary. And because of that, we have all of the Mishnayos to talk about Ein, Bein, X, Y, that are introduced with that sugya. And so we continue on today. Ein, Bein, Amudar, Hana'ami, Chaveiro, Lamudar, Mimenu, Ma'achal, Ela, Drisat, Haregel, the kelim she'ino sim behem ochel nefesh. There are two basic ways of the way that people are neider from one another. One is to be neider hana'a, in which you aser your hana'a on someone else, or you say, I don't want to have anything to do with you. I don't want to get any hana'a from you. Or the other way is where people are pressuring you to eat and to spend time with them and have a meal. You say, I'm not going to have any hana'a of achila, or I answer you on having hana'a achila from me. So hana'a achila, the way that the Gemara in the Dorim explains these words are that he does not simply say, I answer eating. He says, any hana'a that will bring to achila. Now, therefore, we have a real close, here similarity between the two, because any hana'a that could be mevili de achila could mean anytime I save you money. So in other words, if I have saved you a dime, you could always use that dime for a cup of coffee if you lived 100 years ago. So because of that, even saving you money is considered to be hana'ah mevi ali de achila. So therefore, the Mishnah finds the two to be very, that's much more than a dime of coffee, Akiva. No. I'm talking about a cup of coffee, a dime cup of coffee. So therefore, Ein Bein, there's no difference between the two because they're very, very close. The only difference would be something that is not worth any money at all. So therefore, let's say Drisat HaRegel, or now the Gemara assumes we're talking about Kalim, that it's not the derech to rent out. And therefore, if you ask that person, could you lend me a glass? No, that's no good because a glass can be used for a cup of coffee. But if you say, how about, can you lend me a hammer? So that, if it's not a place where you would actually be able to rent a hammer, or rent out a hammer, you're not saving you money. Then that would be a difference. Can I walk through your yard? If that's something that is not going to save you money. So if there's an Isra Hana'a, so fine. Then you can't walk through my yard. But if it's just an Isra Achila, I'm not getting you any closer to Achila. However, this clarifies that to borrow a glass, that you couldn't do, even if you had only said an iser of a neder for hana that is mevili de achila. Other than drisat haregels, if you answered hana'a, then the guy can't walk even through your yard. Well, ask the Gemara, but drisat haregel isn't really considered to be hana'a because people generally are not makbid on that kind of thing. So it has something to do with him. It's sort of just like hefker, right? Ah, says the Gemara. Amar Rava, we're going according to Reb Eliezer. Reb Eliezer holds vitur asur b'mudar hana'a. Even something which technically you could put up no trespassing signs. You're mivater. So you forego that right. That is also considered to be asur as a hana'a that's coming from the person because of his foregoing that right. That itself is considered to be hana'a. There's a big machlokas rishonim over here, a three-way machlokas, because Rashi says that people are not makbid. He says people are not makbid likanes lebeito. Just a little bit. I mean, people are not makbid likanes lebeito. Others learn that it's only referring to, lactosis explains, it's only referring to people are not makbid cutting across a field at a time that field is not going to be damaged in any way. And others learn that it's even more than a field, even cutting across your yard, but not cutting into your house. Go for it, Sir Richard. Ein benedarim lenedavot ela shehanedarim chayav ba'achrayutan v'nedavot eno chayav ba'achrayutan. There's no difference between saying a neder, harei alai ola, or making a particular animal a nedava by saying harei zo ola, ze ola I should say, other than the fact that if you said harei alai ola, then you would be responsible to get that ola to the Beis HaMikdash. Hashem can be said harei ze, so then if something happens to it, you're not responsible. Hala inyan balta acher, so even though in the Pasuk of Balta Acher it does not mention a Nedava, but remember we had back in Rosh Hashanah that we made a Gezeira Shava, Neder o Nedava. And therefore, Balta Acher, you remember the Machlokas of Balta Acher, three Regalim, or maybe just Sukkos, or maybe three Regalim Medavka in order, but in any event, you would be over on a Lav D'Oraita if you put it off. Tanan Hatam. A zehu neder. So what is considered to be, what defines, when we talk about a neder, what defines something as a neder as opposed to a nedava? Well, a neder is ha'omer harei alai ola. And what is a nedava? Ha'omer harei zo ola. Ma'abei nedarim le nedavot. The difference between them is that in the case of nedarim, if they were made to onignevu or avadu, then you would be still chayev to buy another one, bring it. But in the case of a nedava, if made to onignevu or avdu, eno chayav b'achrayutan, it's not your responsibility. Where do we see in the Torah that there is a difference between the two? Tantan Rabbana. It says in the Pasuk, v'nirtze lo lechaper olav. So it talks about the samach yadav, and at that point, it's ready to be mechaper olav. Could have just said v'nirtze lo lechaper. So Rabbi Shimon says that it means lechaper alav. If he has the responsibility of alav, then and only then is he chayav b'achrayuto. But if it's not alav, it's not on me, meaning it's not on my back. So if it's eino alav, then it's eino chayav b'achrayuto. My mashma, where do we see the word alav as meaning specifically that's talking about when it's a neder? Because, Omer of Yitzchak Bar Avidimi, because the use of the word alai is the word alav, isn't it? Alai means it's on me. Like, same thing we would say in English. You say, this is on me. This is on me means I accept responsibility for it. So if that's the case, the moment you use that word alai, it's as if you put it on your own back. And now you've accepted that responsibility. Now, the obvious question here is that if, in fact, it all boils down to your language, why do we need a pusik? It's ridiculous. I mean, obviously, the lushan of a neder is machayev you, right? So if I can analyze this in terms of your language, what are we talking about, minanimili? Anyway, when it comes to the inyanim of nedarim, remember the klal is we always follow common language usage. If you're telling me that the word alai means the fact that I accept responsibility, so obviously I'm responsible because that's the neder that I made, right? So come on, this is a great question, right? We darsh from a pasuk alav, and then we say, and how do we know alav means that? Because the word alav means that, because since he said alai, so he's saying that it's alav. I mean, the whole thing is circular, ridiculous reasoning, right? So there's a beautiful Brisker Rav that explains a classic Brisker, Sifaran Svei Dinim. There's two completely different dinim that are involved in this halacha of the difference between a neder and a nedava. Obviously, the basic fact that you have to be mekayim your neder, that is, of course, fully a function of what it is that you said. However, there's also a different halacha in terms of the din, not of the neder, but of the din of the korban, that the korban is mechai of you to bring it. Those are two completely different worlds. What's the difference between them? Fantastic difference. If you bring the korban to the Beis HaMikdash, you were yotze your neder. But since there's a halacha in the korban, it means that if the korban ends up not being brought as a kosher korban, you're still going to be responsible because the veneer tzilulach aperalav. And that was not innate in your nether. Ha! Anyway, can we utilize...
Say the last bit again, really, please. Just the conclusion, please.
The conclusion of the nafkamina? In terms of the nether, you accepted on yourself responsibility to bring this carbon to the Beis HaMikdash. You did not accept responsibility to see to it that the carbon would be brought properly once it's in the Beis HaMikdash. But once it's a din in the carbon and not in the nether, then having accepted a nether, then the additional pasuk of Nirtzal al-Chaper alav is mechayev you to have the carbon brought for you properly. And therefore, you would have to replace it. Tremendous chiddush. Okay. See? There we go. We get some smiles. Ah, that's why Zoom actually analyzed who's smiling and put them all together. Of course, it was only coincidence that it's the Rebbe and this Gabbai, but okay. And alone. Alrighty. So can we use...
The equivalent of a Chatzi Gurin. You can see everybody's face.
Yeah. Exactly. Okay, now, the question is whether Mechusar Zman, I'm sure if you remember this question, is Mechusar Zman Bo Bayom considered to be Mechusar Zman or not? Lamai Nafkamina, if Richie said Zokter Helika Mishnah before you reach the Mishnah, can you use that Zokter Helika Mishnah as a kosher introduction, or are you Mechuyev to have something that wouldn't be Mechusar Zman? Here you can really get a taste of the power of the meaning of Mechusar Zman. I mean, like, who would want an old, worn-out Zokter Helika Mishnah? Not us. So go ahead, Richie. Do it right.
Oh, sorry, guys. I guess my senility is going.
Go for it. All right. So now we get into a complex sugya. We're going to have a couple of interesting but complex sugyas today. So one of them has to do with zivas, and one of them has to do with tzara'at. Now, remember that we have two psukim when it comes to a zav. One of them mentions two times the word zav. One of them mentions three times the word zav. And because of that, we understand that there are two dinim of zivas. There's ish ki ye zav mi besaro. And then it adds zovo tamehu, zav, zovel, tameh. But there's also a pasuk that mentions v'zotie tumato bizovo, rar bisoro mizovo, oechtim bisoro mizovo. Three times. So therefore we understand that zivas consists of an increasing level of chumrah of one, two or three re'iyas. Now, one re'iyah of the Zav that we're not going to speak about over here, because even though it's not metame mishkav u'moshev and so on, it is metame, but it's only metame like a regular bal keri. Remember that zivas is not keri. Do not confuse it to not the same material at all. One is semen and one is prostate fluid and so on, but we learn out one from the other. So that if we have a two re'iyah of a Zav, the halacha is, as we're going to derive, that he becomes tamei with all of the chumras of tumas, mishkav, umoshav, that a zov is tamei with. If he has three re'iyos, then he not only is he tamei with those chumras of mishkav, umoshav, but he's also going to be chayev to bring a korban. That's fact one. Another issue. There's also a din of svirat shiva nikiyim, just as we're all familiar with Shivat Nikiyim from the din of a Zava, because we treat every Nida as a Zava, and then we've got all those complexities of Shivas Nikiyim, which are really a hassle. The same thing is true of a Zav. He has to keep Shivat Nikiyim. And he has to keep Shivat Nikiyim even if there were only two Re'iyas. Now, that's fact number two. Fact number three is that besides the Tumah of Mishkav u'Moshav, there is another very chomor element of a zav, and that is called heset. And that's the only place in the Torah that we find that tuma. Heset hazav. Heset hazav is the actual mirror image of the normal tumas masa. In a tumas masa, if somebody picks up something that is metame b'masa, So then, even if he didn't come into contact with it, it's still going to be metame him by virtue of the fact that he picked it up. But by the Zav, if the Zav picks you up or picks a Kli up, or think about a simple case. You have two kids playing on a seesaw. One of those kids is a Zav. Remember that even an infant can be a Zav. So one of those kids is a Zav, and the other kid is being picked up by that kid on a seesaw. Then he is metame the other child. Or if you put a cup on the seesaw, you've been metame the cup. That's masa in the inverse. Okay. There's one more very important additional halacha, and that is, we are used to the idea that if a zava, and the same thing would be true of zav, you would think that if a zava goes to the mikvah during the day, it's not going to do a darn thing for her. She has to wait till the end of her shivas nikiyim, and then she goes to the mikvah, right? You would think the same is true of a zav, but it isn't. A zav can actually go to the mikvah during the day. However, if he has another of re'iyah during that day, so it's sotzer shivas nikiyim, and he has to start all over again, and you would think that that means that retroactively he's tummy, and that therefore the going to the mikvah was just a waste of time. But you'd be wrong. And this is a very special halacha that is learned out from a pasuk of the smichas of the word v'taher to the din of Heset Hazav. And that is, once he goes to the mikveh, he is no longer going to be metame things beheset. And this is true even if it turned out that he was seiser shiva sedekian. So anything that he had sat on or lied down on, tumas bishkavu moshav, and certainly that he had touched. Remember, tumas bishkavu moshav means the old princess and the pea. You don't come into contact with that pea at the bottom of all of those mattresses, but nonetheless, it's metame. That is true of all metame mishkavu moshav. And over there, of course, it would go right back into effect if he touched something between the time in which he went to the mikvah and the time that it was sunset, or before sunset, he was still roya another riyaz divas, then it would all be tummy. But if he seesawed something, it would not be tummy. That's the other very important fifth point. And there's another extremely important issue that we need to mention, which is a sixth point, that is nogea zivot, it's nogea female, not a male, but the halacha there, which has no counterpart in the male, is that if a woman is roya, even a single re'iyah of zivas, remember, what makes something zivas in a female is not a difference in the blood, as it is in a male, the difference in the fluid. It's not a difference in the fluid. It's a difference in the timing. And the difference in the timing is that if it's during the 11 days between the onset of nidas of 7 days, which then completes, and then whether she goes to the mikvah or not, the next period is called the 11 days of zivas, and any re'iyah during that time is considered to be a re'iyah of zivas. If she's roya, one re'iyah of zivas, there's no din of shivas nikiyim. If she's roya, two re'iyahs of zivas, there's no din of shivas nikiyim, which, by the way, is different for the male, because two, there already is a din of shivas nikiyim. But another very important difference is that the zav, who is roya, one re'iyah of zivas, is not tummy as a zav at all. We do give him normal dinam of tuma as if he were a balkari, but he doesn't have tuma zivas. But a woman who has even one re'iyah of zivas has to keep what is called yom keneged yom. So for the net, for one day, she has to make herself tmeya, and she gets the dinim of a zava partially, as we'll see. And then if by the end of the day there's no additional re'iyah, so then she now becomes tahor. And that's called a shomeret yom keneged yom. And that would be true whether it's one re'iyah or two re'iyahs. But what's fascinating is that even though the shomeret yom keneged yom is also mitama, she's mitama like a zava, she's mitama mishkavu mashav, she does not need shivas nikiyim. That's the whole point of being a shomer yom keneged yom. Now, if you put all of those facts together and you get them straight, the sugya will be a breeze. So just review those 6 points in your mind, and we breeze through the sugya. Ein bein zav haro eshtei re'iyot, luro eshalosh re'iyot, ela korban. The only difference is that a Zov who had three Re'ios of Zivos, and when we say Re'ios, we mean Re'ios, because this is not relevant to our sugya, so I didn't mention it, but one of the important differences between a male and a female is that, as I did point out, the din of the fluid is defined by the timing. But because of that, so is the Re'ia defined by the timing. So any amount of blood on one of the days of Zivais is still just one Re'ia of Zivais of a woman. But every separate Re'ia of Zov on a male is considered to be a separate Re'ia of Zivais. And therefore it's possible to become a Zov Godel, who requires Shivas Vekiyim, even without 3 days, because you can be Re'ia those Zivais as separate Re'ias on the same day. So that's also a difference. Now, so therefore we refer to Ro'eh. So, Ein Bein Zov HaRo'eh Shtei Re'iot, L'Ro'eh Shalosh, Elo Korban. The only difference is, all of the chumras of the Tumah are exactly the same, B'tami Mishka V'Moshev, B'tami V'Heset, but there's no Chiyuv HaKorban until he's Ro'eh Shalosh Re'ias. Now that implies that Hol Inyan Mishkav U'Moshav and Sfirat Shiva Nikiyim, it's exactly the same whether this Zav is Ro'eh two Re'ias or whether he's Ro'eh three Re'ias. Now, how exactly do we see this in the Torah? Minon Emile. The Tone Rabbon, Rabbi Simai Omer, Manah HaKatuv Shtayim Ukaro Ta'amit. Remember, Ish Ish Kiye Zav Mibesoro Zovo Tameh. Two times the word Zov is mentioned, says Tameh. And on the other hand, it also says Shalosh Ukaro Tameh. V'zoti etumato bizovo, rar bisoro et zovo, oichti bisoro mizovo, three times mentioning zivas in the same pasuk. Which one is it? Is it two or is it three? Hakeitzad, must be that there's a difference between them. Two re'iyas are mechayev, the special din of tuma, which includes not only standard mishkav u'moshav, but also the din of heset, and also the din of shivas nekiyim. So, in terms of Tuma, two Re'ios are considered to be Zov. In terms of Korban, three Re'ios are considered to be Zov. And therefore, you're not Chayev that Korban, as the Mishnah said, unless there's three. How do you know, maybe we should say, that two Re'ios are for Tuma and not for Korban, whereas three Re'ios, they are Mechayev a Korban, but not Tuma? What are you talking about? What do you mean? Wasn't he already Tomei when he saw the two Re'iyas? How in the world did he become Tor to say that three Re'iyas? That makes no sense. That's silly. Amrit Achilo Rosh Sholosh Rosh Taim already. How did he get rid of that Tumah? No, I mean, maybe the idea is like this. Maybe Shtaim are the things that are Mechayavim Korban and not Tumah, and three adds the Tumah. Maybe that's the point. You can't say that. Lo Sakataitach. Why? The Tanya, there's another pasuk that says, "V'chiper alav haKohen lifnei Hashem mi zovo." So, what do you mean, mi zovo? First, I mean, obviously, this is what we're talking about. V'chiper alav haKohen lifnei Hashem mi zovo, from his zivo, as opposed to what? So, what this must be teaching us is, mi means out of, right? Okay, so you're telling me some out of the above, not all of the above. Ah, so in other words, some of the above bring that carbon. So mizovo, there are some zov that v'chiper alav haKohen. Miksat zavim mevim korban. U'miksat zavim ein mevim korban. So therefore, what must you say? You must conclude that if he was roya shalosh, maybe shtayim, eno mevim. Very simple. Now you'll ask, maybe it means that if he's roya shtayim, he's mevim, and roya shalosh, he isn't mevim, and he's just tummy. No, that's crazy. Again, I mean, if he was already high of the carbon at two, how did we take off the chiyuv of the carbon of three? I mean, that doesn't make any sense. Now, that means that we actually have two separate psukim. We need Rabbi Simoi, and we also need the pasuk of Mizovo. We need Rabbi Simoi pointing out the difference between two mentions of Zivas in the pasuk and three mentions of Zivas in the pasuk, and we also need the pasuk Mizovo telling us that there is a difference in terms of the carbon mizova. Let's say we would have just had Rabbi Simoi, that there's a difference between a two times of and a three times of. I would have said, okay, but maybe that means, yes, there's certainly a difference. But like we said, maybe the difference is that a 2x zov is a carbon zov and a 3x zov is a tume zov as well. And we have to add the din of tuma. Therefore, we need the posik of mizovo to tell me that it's when it comes to the carbon that we have the difference out of mizov. Some yes and some no, but not when it comes to tumah. So that's obvious. Now, suppose it would have said mizovo and I would have known some zovim yes require carbon, some zovim don't. So isn't that enough? No, because you don't know how many re'ios without those two psukim mentioning 2x zivas or 3x zivas. So you wouldn't know. Therefore, kamashmon de Rabbi Simoi, you still need the fact that the Torah defines a zov as a 3x ria and defines a zov as a 2x ria. And now mizovo tells me how I apply that. Namely, I apply that to carbon, not to tuma. Now, wait a minute. If you're claiming that the word mizovo, says the Gemara, is meant to be understood as out of the above, meaning some and not all, how do you explain the same word, mizovo? How do you explain it in the other pasuk where it uses that word? It says, v'chi yitar hazav mizovo, v'safar lo shivat yamim, l'taharato, v'chi besbikadav, v'tahar, and so on. So what could it possibly mean over there, mizovo? Because you said that all zavim are definitely going to be tame and are going to require this story of going to into the water, right? So what is that talking about? Ah, that's brilliant. And get this. That is indeed coming to tell me out of the above, okay? But obviously it doesn't mean out of the above in terms of the number of zivas. That means something else. So first of all, when it says the word v'chiyitar, what does that mean? V'chiyitar, I mean, he's not tor yet, is he? So v'chiyitar means when he stops having these re'iyos. And then he starts counting his shivas nikiyim. He doesn't have to go to the mikveh. If he were a mitzora, he would have to first go to the mikveh. But if he's a zov, he doesn't first go to the mikveh, just like a woman doesn't first go to the mikveh before counting shivas nikiyim. This is such a great opportunity to get these complex sugyas absolutely clear by juxtaposing them in this way. And we're going to juxtapose the dinim of tzaras as well in a moment. So therefore, he can start immediately counting shivas nikiyim. And what does the word mizovo out of the above mentioned zavim? It doesn't mean out of the above mentioned zavim. It means if someone has multiple tumas. So suppose he is both a zov and a mitzora. So now this guy's really got it over the head. He's in big trouble. Okay. So anyway, you would think that, well, he can't start counting shivas nikiyim if he's going to be anyway tummy during those shivas nikiyim from his tzaras, right? So now he's going to have to wait till he finishes his tzaras, and then he's got to start the whole thing of his shivas nikiyim. That's what you would think. But that's not true. That's why it says, v'chiyitar mizovo. It's good enough to become tahar, meaning to stop seeing your zivas, and then you can immediately start counting shivas nikiyim, even though you're still a mitzora. So say, what's the difference? Ah, it's a big difference. Because suppose he counted his shivas nikiyim, and he went to the mikveh. And by the time he went to the mikveh on that day, he had been cured of his tzaras. Then that mikveh would have counted both towards removing the tumas mishkav u'moshav from the zov and for the beginning of the process of the taira of the mitzera. And therefore, he would also, as we're going to see, impact the level of tuma of tzaras, which we're going to talk about in a moment. Masha inken, if he were not allowed to begin yeshivas nikiyim until he's cured of his tzaras, so then he would have had to start first keeping shivas nikiyim, then going to the mikveh, then keeping 7 days for the tzaras, then going to the mikveh again for the tzaras. And here he saves those first shivas nikiyim, even though he was mitzera. That we learn out from the pasuk of mizovo, only from his zivas, and that's enough. He does not need to be v'chiyitar mizovo plus mitzarato. Beautiful. That's like absolute poetry. Okay. So therefore, this teaches us mizovo velo mizovo minigo. Okay, then it says v'safar. So mizovovisafar. Now listen, this is going to sound sort of repetitious, and that's exactly what the Gemara is going to ask in a moment. But mizovovisafar means that if the zov is bal shtei re'iyot, he still requires shivas nekiyim. Well, of course. Didn't we say that already? That mizovo, we learned from the first mizovo, that even the two that we had from Rabbi Simoi, the two times Zivas is already Metame Mishka V'Moshev, right? So ask the Gemara, so why do we need Mizovov V'Safar to tell me even some Zov, meaning even a partial Zov, Mizovov, meaning even a Zov Bar Shterios requires Shivas Nekiyim. But that's obvious, no? Valodinu. I mean, we said he's Metame Mishka V'Moshev. So if he's Metame Mishka V'Moshev, isn't it a given that he is going to be Ton Shivat Nekiyim? What is the Chiddush in this last pasuk? I understood that before. You thought you understood it before, didn't you? Because you lumped everything together. That's why. You thought that by definition, if someone is Metame Mishka V'Moshev, so then obviously he has all the chumras of the Tumah, and then clearly he's going to have to keep Shivas Nekiyim, right? Wrong. How do I know it's wrong? From Shomeres Yom Keneged Yom. What's the din of a Shomeres Yom Keneged Yom? The whole point is that she does not require Shivas Nekiyim. Nonetheless, until such time as she's Mitaharet after keeping her Yom Keneged Yom, she is Mitame Mishka V'Moshev. So you see that it's possible to be Mitame Mishka V'Moshev and yet not require Shivas Nekiyim. Baruch Avram, there is no way that this sugya is going to stay in that head without complete concentration. So unless it's your Zoom screen that's frozen, I think it is. Sorry for Cheshit B'Ksherim, I should be Cheshit on the Zoom. Okay. So therefore, I need a pasuk that even though I had the two psukim of Rabbi Simoi before, in which I realize that there's... All right. So you're the problem here because you've lumped everything together. You assume that just because a person is Batami Mishka V'Moshev, so by definition, they require Shivas Nekiyim. But we know that's not true. How do we know it's not true? From item number six. Item number six was the fact that if a woman is a Shomeres Yom Keneged Yom, she has to keep that day. Keep that day as what? As if she's a Zova. And she's Matame Mishka V'Moshev till the end of that day. And then she goes to the mikveh. How should she go to the mikveh? If she's Matame Mishka V'Moshev, according to Mr. Lumper, she should also require Shivas Yemei Nekiyim, but she doesn't. So you see clearly that Shivas Yemei Nekiyim are not part of being Matame Mishka V'Moshev as an essential feature. Therefore, I need a special posuk by the Zav. You're right. We did establish he's Batami Mishka V'Moshev when he was Reish Teirios. But have we established that he is also going to require Shivas Nekiyim? Comes along this posuk of Mizovo and Visafar, that even Mikzah Zivas requires additional Sfira Shivas Nekiyim. Ah, unbelievable. Afata altatame alze. So if a Mitami Mishka V'Moshev is Ena to Una Sfira Shiva, and nonetheless, she is Mitami Mishka V'Moshev, Afata Altatame Alzeh. So what's your question? Why do we need a Pasuk? It's certainly possible that even a Zov who is Royosh Te Riyais, Afa Pisha Mitami Mishka V'Moshev, it wouldn't be for this Pasuk, I would say maybe he doesn't require Shivas Nekiyim. And therefore, I need to have this Pasuk, Talmud Lomar, Mizovo V'Safar, even a partial Zav, Mizovo, some of the three Riyas, meaning only two, Visafar, Limed al Zav Baal Shtei Riyot, Shita Un Sfirat Shiva. Now, says Rav Papa to Abaye, now this is very weird, because you're using out of in two opposite ways. So how can you do that? How come when we're talking about this Mizovo, we are adding, we're saying, even someone who's only a partial Zav needs to be added to the set of people that require Sfirat Shivas Nekiyim. That's what you said. But the original one, here it's Marbe Be'ezov Bal Shtei Riyos, and the original Mizovo, you were saying that if you only have two Riyos, you don't have to bring the carbon. I mean, why don't we say that since it says mizovo, even if you have only two re'ios, then you have to bring the carbon. So the v'chiper alav hakohen mizovo. Make up your mind. Is the mizovo inclusive or exclusive? You can't just arbitrarily use it in opposite ways. Nice? Okay. Omar Lehi says Abaye, because the pasuk has left us no option. Because Yitzhak Adayetech Haile Me'ute Hudiyata, you're coming to tell me that the Shivas Nikiyim does not come to add the need for a Baal Shtei Riyastav Shivas Nikiyim, then you're going to be faced with an intractable issue, namely, shut up. Why do you have to talk about it? We've already shown that if you don't talk about it, we would have no basis, because of our Yom Keneged Yom, we would have no basis of assuming that you do have to have Shivas Nikiyim. So why are you making a fuss over something that is not fussable, right? So why wouldn't we just say, Lishtokra, I mean, you could have shut up. Now, I know what you're going to say. You're going to say, well, because, I mean, obviously I would have said, I mean, if there's a Mishkav U'Moshav, isn't there automatically Shivas Nikiyim? But you know the answer to that. We just proved to you that that's not true. Because Shomer is Yom Keneged Yom Tochiyach. Therefore, it's got to be that way. Now, I know what you're going to ask now. You're going to ask me, V'chi Tema, but we already said that we need Mizovo anyway, because we need Mizovo to tell me Mizovo velo Mizovo vinig'o, right? So, I mean, therefore we should say that it not necessarily doesn't mean that he's included in the din of Shivas Nikiyim. It's just coming to tell me that he doesn't have to get rid of his Taras. Can't mean that. Because in Cain, suppose it would have just said, V'chiyitar hazav, without saying V'chiyitar hazav, mizovo. Wouldn't I have asked you, hey, I mean, I may be stupid, but I'm not that stupid. All you needed to say was, V'chiyitar, it should have just said, V'chiyitar hazav, and then it could have been quiet, and then I would have said, if you would have said V'chiyitar, that would have been perfectly enough for me. Obviously, we're talking about a zav. So you see that V'chiyitar Zav means all we need for you to do is to be clear of Zivas, not of anything else. So why are we stressing Mizovo? Ah, that's coming to tell me that you have no choice but to learn that Mizovo is included in V'safar. Limit Azav Bashteiriyot, Sheta'un Svirat Shiva, and now all is clear. And now it's time for Richie. Not Richie. It's not Zuck the Halakha Mika. It's Zuck the Halakha Mishnah. I know that you're having a little bit of a confusion over here.
what happens when you approach Gura?
you just get stronger every day. Wonderful. So now we move on to our next interrelationship of rather detailed issues. And that is, you will recall, being as we just learned Negoyim together, you will certainly recall that there are two types of Mitzoras. There's a Mitzora who's Muzgar, and there's a Mitzora who's Muchlat. And we went through many, many difficult analyses, what happens in Hezker, but let's just take a simple case. So you have a Mitzora who's presenting cover your mouth. We have a Mitzora who is presenting a Nega without any Simone Tuma in that Nega. Okay, Cohen sees it. Cohen says, all right, we'll come back in 7 days. We'll check it out. No change. The end of 7 days. No Pisayon, which is expansion, no Se'ar Lavan, which would be a simen, no Se'ar, Michya of Basar Chai. Fine. Let's wait another 7 days, and I'll look at it again. Waits another 7 days, same thing, no change. Din, Tahar. So that means that Mitzora was never defined as Tomei Mitzoras. That definition, where the Kohen announces Tomei, that's called Hechlet. and a mitzora was in that state is a mitzora muhlat. But he never reached the stage of mitzora muhlat. So he was a mitzora that got out of his mess without ever having to go through the hechlet stage. Is there a difference in the dinim of a mitzora who comes out without hechlet or who comes out with hechlet? Now, there's obvious differences, and the Mishnah is not even going to discuss those differences. Those obvious differences have to do with the series of korbonos that have to be brought, with the three different korbonos and the asher mitzora and so on and so forth, but we're not talking about that. We're talking about specifically the issue of what immediately, that takes place at the end of 8 days. So he goes to the mikveh, he has to shave all his hair, goes to the mikveh again after 7 days, then there's all those korbanos on the 8th day. We're not talking about that. We're talking about what is the immediate result on the day that he's cured of his tzaras. But this is going to turn out to be very important. Cured of his tzarat? Wasn't cured of his tzarat. He just turned out to never have had tzarat. Exactly. And we're going to see in the pasuk how that word is so important in understanding the differences in the halacha. But in the day in which he is let free from his tzarat, so he becomes a tor mitoch hezger, on that day, there is also a difference. But in terms of the dinim of tuma, they are the same, and we're going to see what those dinim of tuma are referring to. And here too, there are special dinim of tuma, just like there are by a zov. By a zov, we have a special din of tuma, which besides mishkav u'moshav, also is a special din of tuma, which was called heset hazov that we spoke about, the mirror image of noseh. When it comes to tzarat, there's also a very special tuma, and that's called tumat bi'ah. If he comes into a house, the truth is that is only mentioned by tzaras batim. But we learn out from a pasuk that any mitzora, even a human mitzora, walks into a house and that becomes now the place in which he is standing. Then anybody who even walks through that place can become tamei. And if he stays there long enough, then everything that he's wearing also becomes tamei and so on. Okay, so therefore, keeping those things in mind, says our Halakha Mishnah that ein bein mitzora muzgar le mitzora muchlat, ela pri'a ufrima. The only difference is the additional chiyuv in the Torah of hatzarua asher bo hanega begadav yiyu ferumim v'rosho yiyeh farua v'al safam ya'ateh. So as we said, this tzaras, we're speaking Lashon Hara, puts somebody into his 14 days of bidud, just like the current virus. He has to keep a mask over his face, over his lips, exactly the same. And now the question is, what happens on the day that his test comes back clear? So then we're going to talk about what he has to do. But meanwhile, is it the same during that time? Well, no, because this idea of letting your hair grow, which is called pri'ah, roshoye parua, and tearing begodim as a sign of avelus, that is a difference between a mitzora muzgar and a mitzora muchlat. And furthermore, but mashma, in other words, in terms of the tuma, it's the same. Furthermore, on the day in which he becomes tar, ein bein tar mitoch hezgar letar mitoch hechlet, other than does he need to shave off all of his hair, which includes all of his body hair as well, and does he need to bring those complicated the two birds, which are connected to the Shnei Seirim of Yom Kippur, and one of them goes free, and one of them dies, and so on, and is dipped in the blood of the other one, that also does not apply to the guy that walks out and does not need to have a ripui of his tzaras, because his tzaras was never muchlat. That's the only difference. All right, so let's start with the difference. I've been drinking. You don't bother noticing.
So, I know this, I just please double the frequency.
No, that's just an excuse, L'achra Maisa. I'm very familiar with your ideas, Barnea. This is an old story. Either you're going to be mavdil between when you have to hold a cup or not, or I can't take it seriously. If I don't drink and then I see a cup, I take it seriously. If you keep holding the cup, I figure you want to make a l'chaim because it's close to Adar. Never occurs to me. You mean you want me to drink? Now, all right, so the first part, which is talking about the difference between someone who is in a state of Hechlet, a state of Hezger, it's mashma that the only difference would be the question whether he has to let his hair grow or not. But mashma, for all other dinim, including shiluach chutz l'machaneh. Now, shiluach chutz l'machaneh, of course, is nogea only bate orechima miyamos Yoshua bin Nun, and has to do with the definition of bate orechima that we've been talking about. So all in is shiluach me'amachana, of sholosh machanas, and the special chumras of tuma, which include the idea of tumas bia, even a mitzora who is only muzgar, have exactly the same dinim. How do we know that? Where does it say that there's no din when it comes to bigadav yupruim? There's no such halacha on the mitzora who is only a muzgar. The Tani de Rav Shmuel bar Yitzchak made Rav Huna. V'tiaro hakohen mispachati v'chibes bigadav v'taher. So here it's talking about a mitzora who was only muzgar, and it says, if nothing changes, so the kohen says, oh, okay, so this was just a freckle, basically. So this is a mispachat, some kind of skin marking, a skin disease, but this is not saras, therefore you are tahar, and then v'taher. So when you say that it's tahar, v'taher means he is tahar mipriya uprima miikara. We consider that word v'tahar. Why doesn't it say v'yitar? Let him go to the mikveh and become tahar. Instead, it says v'tahar. That means that we are claiming that this guy remains in a state of tahara that he never had to even get out of. So that means that by doing this and letting him out at this stage, that he was always tahar mipriya umiprima. That's what it must mean. Otherwise, it would have said v'yitar. Armalei Rav, excuse me? So now by the Zav, it uses the same word, it says v'taher. So when it says v'chibez bigadav v'taher, okay, tell me what it means there. Because there is no such thing that a Zav is let off on retroactively. I mean, there's no such thing. Either he was tummy or wasn't tummy. We don't have equivalence to a Zav Muzgar the way we would have to a Mitzora Muzgar. So what would you explain? Hatamai v'taher miyikara yikara. How are you going to deal with that one? It must mean Tahor hashta milatamei kli cheres behesed. Now, this was a reference to the very special halacha that we listed before as number 4, I believe, in which we said that the din of the Zav, who would go to the mikveh on his 7th day of the counting the 7 days of Taira, and even for Rebbes, this requires concentration. So the din would be if he went to the mikveh, and then he ends up having another re'iya of zivas, that anything that he touched between the time he went to the mikveh and the time that he canceled it, the person would be tummy. If he lied down on a bed, the bed would be tummy, and the pee at the bottom of the 20 mattresses, it would all be tummy. But if he played on the seesaw, then that was the one thing that would not be retroactively tummy. And with that, we learned out of a pasuk. So then when you use the word v'taher by the Zav, you meant that he will instantly, at that point that he goes to the mikveh, he is now v'taher of the most, this is the way I understand it. I must say, Rashi doesn't explain it this, but Rashi says that he thinks that the basis of the drasha is that the pasuk immediately prior to the v'taher was talking about the seesaw. Okay, but I think we need to add that what we're doing is we're taking the greatest, the furthest extension of zivas beyond anything else, and you'll see why I say this. The furthest extension of zivas beyond anything else is the din of the seesaw. And that's the one thing that's affected. Therefore, says Rava, if that's what v'taher means by the Zav, then, and here's why you'll like my peerage, then the furthest extension of the Mitzera beyond every other Tuma ought to be affected in the same way. What is the furthest extension of that? That would mean the din of the ability to be metami bebia. Because that's the furthest extension of a mitzera. So therefore, what does it mean by the zav? It means he's now tahor. The moment he goes to the mikvah, even if afterwards he is roya, he's going to be tahor from being metami klicheres beheset. Remember, klicheres, if you touch it, it doesn't become tummy. But if the zav seesaws it, then it is going to become tummy. That is canceled. Afagav da adachazi, even though he's going to have another re'iyah. And he will not be metame lemafreya, an astounding violation of the concept of Shivas Nekiyim, which we learn out of the Pasuk. So then that is what it must mean here by the Tzaras. It must mean that at that moment, the Mitzera is going to be Tohar now from being metame bevia, even if the Tzaras comes back. Because remember, what's the din if the Tzaras comes back? It says the moment that the Tzaras comes back, then at that point he becomes Tame, right? Pasuk repeats that for every version. B'yom heira'ot bo basar chai. B'yom heira'ot bo the negat Tzarat. Okay, so you'll say that's the equivalent of a cancellation retroactively. Yes, and that's the beauty of it. So the Vitaher by both the Zav and the Mitzera says there is, in each case, a violation of the idea of retroactive cancellation. By the Zav, there is no retroactive cancellation vis-a-vis a Sisa, and by a Mitzera, there's no retroactive cancellation vis-a-vis walking into the house to be Metami. Ah! Gewaldig. Now, so that's the most that you can learn out of a tire. So now we're back to the question. Okay, so now how do I know what you said? You said that we need a Pasuk to tell me that there's no din on a Hezger. There's no din of tearing the clothes. And there's no din of Rosho Yeporua. How do we know it now? I'll tell you how you know it. Not from where Reb Shmuel Bar Yitzchak was saying, but rather from this pasuk, Vatzorua asher bo hanega begadav yifrumim v'roshoy yeparua. So what does that tell us? That mi shetzorato teluya begufo asher bo hanega. The person who still has that nega, meaning he needs a cure. That's the only one that requires his hair to be growing and his clothing to be torn and to be wearing a mask. By the way, it always means the third as well, as the Mefarshim point out. We just don't bother telling you all three things in the Pasuk. But when we say these two things, we mean three things in the Mishnah. We're just including the Al-Safam Yateh with the other two. Yotza Zeh Masha Enkein, Etzaras who is Muzgar, does not require cures. It's not up to Asher Bo HaNega. He's still got the same Nega. But it was never a Nega. That's the point. So not on him does the Pasuk say, Begadav you Pruim. Right? Frumim. Beautiful. Okay, so therefore, Yatzazeh, She'ein Tzarato, Tzuluya, Begufo, Ela B'yamim. Here it's just a question of the requisite number of days passing by. That's all. 14 days pass by. Okay. Your PCR test comes back clean, you're clean. So you never had it. Okay, so you never had it. So that was not Asher Bo HaNega. Hey, is there anybody who wants to dance? I guess not. Omele Abaye. Abaye doesn't like this. Because Abaye says, look, Elamiata, if you're going to learn the word Asher Bo HaNega, so then you'd have to learn it in this Pasuk too. Kol yemei asher hanega bo itma, and there it says michutz lamachane moshavo. So you should say the same thing. Only if tzarato tzluya begufo hudaton shaluach. If he's in a state in which he has a nega that requires some type of cancer treatment, fine. He needs to go out of shalosh machanais. But someone who doesn't have Asher Bo HaNega, we're just waiting for the returns on his test, so then he should not require Shiluach Chutz V'Sholosh Machanais. Okay, so you'll say, okay, maybe that's true. You got a problem. Darn right, I got a problem. Our Mishnah is the problem. The Mishnah says, Ein Bein Mitzorah Muzgarla Mitzorah Muchlat Ela Priya Ufrima. Now that means that when it comes to Shiluach Mishalosh Machanais, or any other dinim of Tumah, including Tumah Bevia, They're all the same. Zev is a shavim. So now either make up your mind. Either bo means what it's saying, only if he's got it, and not if he's just waiting for his test results. Or it doesn't mean that. If it means it, then it has to mean it. The consistency, the perfection. Omar Lay, so Rava says to Abaya, look, over there it doesn't mean it, the Gabi, the Chutz L'Sholosh Machanos, because it should have said, Yemei, instead of saying, Kol Yemei Anegabo, say Yemei Anegabo, Mechutz L'Machanos Moshavo. Why did it say Kol Yemei? Kol Yemei means any Mitzora whatsoever, even one who's dependent in Yomim. Kol Yemei, as long as the days are still there and you haven't gotten the results of your test, so those days are still Mechayev Yon Chutz L'Sholosh Machanos. Therefore, it's Marva Mitzara Muzgar L'Shiluach also. Wait a minute, if that's true, you're telling me that if I have a specific thing that's Mamayit you, you're saying the only reason that I do not include the Mitzara Muzgar in the din of Begod of you, Frumim, is because I have a special pasuk that tells me bo. Okay, so then when it comes to Tilachat Vetziporim, tell me where is there a specific exclusion? Excuse me, sir. If I need specific exclusions, tell me what the specific exclusion is. Where does it say the fundamental idea of the Mishnah that there's no din of Tilachat Vetziporim? You say, why do we have that answer? That difference. Show me where that says that difference. Omar Abaye, because Omar Kra, V'yatsa Kohenu Michutz L'Machaneh, V'hine, Nirpa Nega Atzarat. Oh man, what does that mean? Wow, look, he's been cured. Can you say about a Mitzora Muzgar, wow, look, he's been cured? Of course not. There's no difference whatsoever on his body. It's just that the biopsy came back and said there's nothing wrong with this. That's all, right? So if the Torah says that the whole thing is only because Hine Nirpa Nega Hatzarat, obviously we're talking about Misha Tzarato Tuluya Berufuot. Yatzazesh Ein Tzarato Tuluya Berufuot. Ela B'yamim. Obviously this is not included, because there was no cure. There didn't need to be a cure. And that means that this whole subsequent pasuk that talks about bringing birds and shaving all the hair and so on and so forth is talking about only someone who needed the cure.